Okay, let's move up to Perek Yudbeis, page 172. New Perek Yudbeis, Se Vavuni B'chachash Ephraim. Okay, V'mirma Beis Yisrael, V'Yehuda Oyd Rod Imkel, V'yim Kidai Shem Neman. What does this mean? This possible, going back to the complaints. Okay, unfortunately, we had a little reprieve the last couple of days where Hashem was saying some very nice things to Klal Yisrael. But nothing too good lasts very long. And now we go back to harsh words of Musar. This pasuk is unique in that it contrasts the difference between the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. Okay, we don't always have that in Nach where we have a contrast. More often than now we have just, you know, Hashem is either complaining to the Malchus of Yisrael, Hashem is complaining about the Malchus of Yehuda, or predicting what's going to be for one, not the other, or it's written in very abstract terms, which opens up different areas of interpretation from the commentators as to what the pasukim mean. But here you have a pasuk which is very clear. It compares, acknowledges the two branches of Klal Yisrael, the Malchus of Yisrael, the Malchus of Yehuda, and Hashem says one of them is good and one of them is no good. The Malchus of Yisrael are misbehaving, but the Malchus of Yehuda, they're still, okay? Still, they're still behaving. We know that being lasts forever. 200 years later, they also did not follow Hashem's Ratzon, and they also were exiles. We are today, we're in Golos today. But here, at least in this pasuk, we have this very unique idea where we are comparing them to the others. And now here it says that, the pasuk again reads, Sivavuni v'chachash Ephraim, Ephraim surrounds me with lies. They're all a bunch of liars. Uvimirma Beis Yisrael. We have two different terms describing the Malchus of Yisrael. One is Yisrael, one is Ephraim. Those are very common in Nach. Ephraim Yerav, Ben Avod, who came from Shevet Ephraim, he was their leader. We call more often than not the Malchus of Yisrael by the name of Ephraim, and we also call them by the name of the Beis Yisrael. But Yehuda, Oid Rod Imkel. Now Rod means, he's still, there are many interpretations, many translations. It's a little bit complex what this means, but it means they're still of Yirah Shemayim. We'll see inside of the commentators, they still have Yirah Shemayim. The Rud means they rule. What do you mean they rule? When a person, it's a very powerful idea, in a few moments, what exactly is Yirah Shemayim? It's very, very hard to define in English, or in any language for that matter, the definition of fear of Hashem. And this pasuk to a very critical pasuk where it's describing what is Yirah Shemayim, at least going to Rashi, the Mitzudos, and Farshim. It means discipline. That's really what it means. It means discipline. Rud means you rule over yourself. What do you mean you rule over yourself? You're in control. You're a disciplined person. There are things that I do, things that I do not do. I get up on time for davening, and you're in control. The environment and your base nature does not control you. You control it. That, now, what does that have to do with Yirah Shemayim? You know, bodybuilders and athletes and movie stars, they also, to some degree, they are in control. You know, you ever watch a good actor? Actor is in total control of his. He takes on a character, and he controls his entire essence to portray the role of the character that he represents. Is that not a very, very great form of discipline? It certainly is. The best actors are the ones that are able to have the greatest form of discipline. They control themselves. But we know as a fact that some of these people, they're far, far, far from anything that we would call a Yirah Shemayim. You look at their private lives, it's just a horror of what these type of people do. So, but yet they represent discipline. So the answer is, it's discipline in the name of Hashem. Discipline, the guidebook, the instruction book is what it says in the Torah. I take what it says in the Torah, and I discipline myself. That's Yirah Shemayim. It's not like the common man thinks. What is Yirah Shemayim? I'm afraid of Hashem. I'm afraid that if I do this Avera, lightning's going to strike, I'm going to have problems, I'm not going to succeed in business, I'm going to lose money, I'm going to get sick. It's true, that is Yirah Shemayim, but that's not really what it's all about. Yirah Shemayim is to work on yourself Not that I'm afraid. Okay, I'm afraid, but I'm not going to change my life. I can't. I'm stuck into a certain lifestyle which I can't break away from. I need to do certain things. I need certain to enjoy myself. And I know that these things are not what Hashem wants. It's not the Ritzoyin HaBayre, but what can I do? But I'm afraid that the consequences of doing these actions I'm going to suffer. Okay, that's also Yirah Shamayim, but that's not what it really is all about. It's all about what it says here in this one word, two letters. Two letters really, they say it all. Rod Im Kel. Rod means you discipline yourself. You work on yourself, Imkel, together with Hashem, with the rule book, the guidebook of Hashem. Okay, we're going to see that Rashi. Let's do it a little bit further, and we'll come back with all this. We'll elaborate upon in the Mefarshim. V'im kidoshim ne'eman, and with the holy ones, is he faithful? Meaning that Yehuda has Yirah Shamayim, and Yehuda is faithful with holiness, with tzaddikim. We have to see more precisely what it means according to different opinions. Okay, let's right away run to the Metzudas David. Okay, let's see how he translates this pasuk. Pasuk Aleph and Perek Yud Beis in the Metzudas David on page 172. Yecherdu v'chein yimaharu. Aleph. Pasuk Aleph. Sivavuni b'chacha Shefrayim. Hinei malchus Ephraim. Sabavu I see, they surround me, ki ilu shavim elai, they make their fakers. They make believe they're returning to me. Aval bat yichachashuvi, the MS is, they lie to me. Ki libam bal imam, their heart is not with them. They just go through the motions. Mitzvah sanoshim limuda, they're not sincere in their service of Hashem. Uvimirma, deceit, kafal, hadava, b'milo, shenes, poetic repetition, v'Yehuda, avol. On the other hand, the Malchus of Yehuda, adayin hu, adayin means still, because this did not last very long either. We learned a couple of times that it's very frightening, is that the influence, the ones that caused Yehuda to go astray, was Yisrael. The evil of Yisrael rubbed off on Yehuda. It took 200 years until you know the roots penetrated deep enough to the degree where Hashem brought upon them exile. But we have psukim before. I don't remember where it was. We had not that long ago in Hosea, where we learned is that the influence of Yisrael is what caused Yehuda as well to go astray. But at this point in time, Yehuda is still adayin, is still loyal to Hashem. Adayin hu moishel imokel. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean? The word rod means to be moishel. Ritzon loimar. This means to say, machriach esa'om leleches imokel b'darkei ha'Torah. It seems that he's referring to the leaders. The leaders of the Jewish people, they're still forcing the people to follow in Hashem's ways. They're still with the program. There's good leadership. Good leadership goes miles in galvanizing the people. If you have good leadership, it's a whole different world. Many times people can go different ways, and a good leader can inspire people to go the right way. V'im kidoshim. Now, what does this mean? V'im kidoshim im Hashem Elokim. We're calling Hashem b'loshen Rabin. Okay, that's a very interesting concept. Normally, we say Hashem is the kidosh Yisrael. We normally refer to Hashem in the singular term when we say the word Kadosh. When we say the word Elokim, Elokim is Lashon Rabim. Anytime we have Yud Mem is Lashon Rabim. It means a plural, but there's only one God, only Hashem. So why is it written Lashon Rabim? Okay, so that's a topic of discussion. But here as well, we have Kidoshim. Whereas normally it's Kadosh or Kadosh, 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 or Kadosh, the Kadosh Yisrael. Here we refer to Hashem B'loshen Rabim. We'll see, I think one of the Mefarshim discussed this. Kidoshim, who Neman L'kayim Amaru, the Jewish people are faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill His word. You know, in Yiddish, you always hear the Darshanim speak about this. In Yiddish, there's something called, you'll help me with this, I don't know any Yiddish. When you speak to your friend, you say,
do
Z, yeah. or there's another word also, or
That's
the
formal form.
Oh, now I read it is that when
English
you say
have you and you, it doesn't matter. But
so the more formal, you'll explain this to me, this is true, is plural. In Yiddish, the
eich
more formal, or how do you say it?
Eich?
Eich, and what about z? Yeah. Z is plural?
Do is singular, but you don't use it.
Oh, do is singular. Do is singular, and the other terms are plural. And the way it's used in Yiddish is that when you speak to a great person or an older person, a person for whom you have a respect, you use the Yiddish term that is plural. And what are the two words? What are the words? There are a few of them.
I
hear, I z, z,
z for a girl.
Or they?
They is they. They means they.
To what?
Yeah, like
plural.
Yeah.
Plural. All the words, but you also, the way it's used, at least what I understand, it's used even when you speak to an individual. When you speak to an individual who is a great person.
You always say ear.
Ear, right. So do mean it's like a slang. It's an insult.
Friend,
not insult, but you have to be familiar with the person to say
do. Do, right. So, and it's singular. So the difference is why are these words chosen? So this is what I've read. I don't know if I'm saying it's correct, but this is what I've read is that when you speak with respect, the way you show respect, you have to understand what the concept is. You speak b'lashon rabin. You speak with a term that's plural, even though you're speaking to an individual. You're basically giving him the status that you are shokel keneged many. You're a very great person. You have influence over many people, or you're equal to many people. Therefore, when I speak to a great person, I use a term that is a plural term. When you speak to a person that you have no respect for, or you're so familiar with, then you speak b'lashon yochid.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember there was once a rebbe, a European rebbe, came to America after the war, and he had talmidim. And he once complained that I give kavod to my talmidim. When I speak to them, when I speak to them privately, I say to them ir. And when they talk back to me, they say do.
Yeah, you.
No, that's
because they translate.
The talmidim call the rebbe do, and the rebbe gives kavod to the talmidim by speaking to them. It should be the reverse. The rebbe was complaining that unfortunately the talmidim don't get it.
They don't
appreciate.
Don't
no, they know Yiddish. They do know Yiddish. They don't appreciate who the Rebbe is. They don't have respect. They don't have respect.
Treat him as an equal.
Exactly. They don't have respect. What a Rebbe. They need to be trained. Kavod HaTorah. They need to be trained to have some respect for rabbinic authority. Okay, that's so. Here, now you take that concept. Where does that concept come from? Now, is it a German concept? Possibly.
German, yes.
Possibly, because Yiddish, 95% of Yiddish is German. So is it a German concept? Is it a Yiddish concept?
German language.
Right. Yiddish is just a dialect of German. It really is German. It's a dialect of German, but you see this idea in the Torah. Hashem, yeah.
But not only in Russian, in Hungarian, also.
In other languages as well, in Hungarian, in Russian, also it's like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Okay, I don't know. In other languages, I imagine the same thing. English, you don't have that distinction. English, you do not. So that's exactly. So this idea, obviously, it comes from the Torah. Because Elohim is B'loshoin Rabim. Hashem is called Shmai. Hashem is Elohim. Hashem hu Elohim. It's the last thing we say on Yom Kippur. We say it seven times. Hashem hu Elokim. Why are you calling Elokim? Elokim is b'loshon rabim. Hashem hu Elokai. Hashem hu Elokei. Why do you say Elokim? Yud mem connotes plural. That's apikorsis to say that Hashem is plural. There's only one God. Right. Okay. So we try. So even if you would just say Elokim, the answer is it's an expression of respect. It's not just an acknowledgement that Hashem is the authority on this world. Elohim means authority. Bezdin is also called Elohim. Okay, but Bezin, you can say Elohim because there are many Dayanim, there's more than one judge. Every court has multiple judges. So it's not a question, you call it a court of law, you call it Elohim. A court of law is called Elohim. There's a quarrel between two people. It says in the pasuk that the two people should go ad Elohim. They should go to court. Elohim is really a secular term. It's not a holy term. We take it, we borrow it, and we apply it to Hashem. And when we do apply it to Hashem, it becomes sacred to the point that you're not allowed to erase it in the Torah. If you have it in the Torah, the word Elohim, where it's used in reference to Hashem, first of all, the Sofer, before he writes that word, he must say the words, Hashem Kiddushas Hashem. If he fails to do so, the Sefer Torah is puzzle. And if another halacha, if the Sofer does not go to mikvah, he does not go to mikvah before he writes Hashem's name, the Sefer Torah is puzzle. As far as I know, it's puzzle. You do not need to go to mikvah to write the Sefer Torah, to write anything that's not Hashem's name. But before you write Hashem's name, a person has to be tahar from Tzvilas Keri.
You mean that morning or every time?
I guess what it means is from the last time that he had an emission of Keri. I assume that's what it means. So a person didn't have this issue for a week or two or a month or a year, he's fine. I'm assuming. I don't know for sure. It could be also that a person doesn't realize that subconsciously part of a person's health is where even without doing anything, there are what they call nitzaitzais. There are teeny, teeny particles, even without any machshava whatsoever. It comes out when a person goes to the Beis HaKiseh. So I don't know the exact parameters. I really do not know. But the minhag of Seferim is they go to mikvah. They go to mikvah every morning. Whether they had marital relations or not, they go to mikveh every morning before. And the truth, this is a whole. I actually had a whole interesting discussion with a sefer. We went to Ziegelbaum. He came to the shir here for many for he came here for a tekufa. Rav Moshe Ziegelbaum, zechayin levracha. Does anyone remember him here? He used to come to the shir, and then at the end he came in a wheelchair. And he was nifter about a year and a half ago, maybe about a year ago. So this past Sunday, his children, they dedicated a Sefer Torah in his memory to the Posner Shul on Bedford and Avenue I. His son Yanki is one of the founders of the shul, is the founder of the shul. And he has other very wonderful children and his almana. I speak to his almana every so often. So they had beautiful Achnosas Sefer Torah in his honor. And the sofer, the one, the middleman, not the sofer, I don't know who the sofer was. It's a gorgeous Sefer Torah, over the top, really. But the one who was the middleman, the one was, everyone knows him in the neighborhood, is Rabbi Pinkas. Rabbi Pinkas from Teferis Stam. And I see him very often, I see him almost every day in Rabbi Schmidman Shul, by Myriv. I see him there very often. And I was talking to him about the Sefer Torah, and he was telling me a lot, and we were talking a lot of very, very fascinating things. We got into a very fascinating discussion. I really should get him to come speak here. He lives around the corner. He davens here pretty often, sometimes. We should really get him to come speak, and he has incredible things to say, insights, things he never heard before. And I was talking to him about this topic, about going to the mikveh before you write a letter in a Sefer Torah. Because what happens all the time when you write a letter in the Sefer Torah, by Achnosa Sefer Torah, they are mechabed people to put dots, you've all seen this, to put dots, the last letters are outlined, and they give kibudim, people can come and put a dot in the Sefer Torah. The problem is, the vast majority of the people who want to put dots in the Sefer Torah did not go to mikvah that morning. Or did not go to mikvah in a long time, maybe since Yom Kippur. They did not go to mikvah, not even that. Some people don't want to go to mikvah because they're afraid of hepatitis. Cellulitis. It's not a joke. Cellulitis. If you go to a mikvah, you got to make sure you go to mikvah that's very clean, have a lot of chlorine. That's a big. It's not a joke. It's a very serious thing. It's a very serious thing to make sure the mikvahs you go to are top of the line. Are really don't just go to any mikvah, because today's day and age, there are a lot of things out there. You can get very, very sick They're very, very careful. And the good mikvos are, the good mikvos, they're very meticulous in making sure no one chas v'shom should get sick by going to mikvah. I know people that will not go to mikvah because they already had it once. And once they got burnt with cellulitis, that's it, they're done. They will not step foot in the mikvah, no matter what. And not mechuyev to. There's no chiyev for a man to go to a mikvah. There's no chiyev. Erev Yom Kippur, there is a minhag to go because of teshuva. Baal teshuva should go to mikvah. Baal teshuva. Midin teshu. Tyra, there's no Tyra today. Okay, there's a din of Tfilas Ezra. But in the Hilchai Stam, you're not allowed to write Hashem's name unless you go to the mikvah. Now, when you come to Hachnas Sefer Torah, no one's writing Hashem's name. Hashem's name is filled in already. There's no outline for Hashem's name. They don't play around with that. That's always. They aren't even really. There are two, three sometimes shemos. They're filled in, but people want to put a dot in the Sifrei Torah where it's not Hashem's name. So do they have to go to mikvah? No, they don't have to go to mikvah. You can come and you can put a dot in the Sefer Torah, even though you have not gone to mikvah, and you, the person, is tummy. However, what's very interesting is that today, this is not a requirement, this is something that's really relatively new, is that the minhag of the Seferim today is they go to mikvah before they write anything in the Sefer Torah. That became the standard minhag. That's just the way it is. That's how it is today, more or less. It's a standard thing where a sefer will not, even though it's not a requirement, you only have to go to mikvah when you write Hashem's name, but they go to mikvah before they do any writing. It used to be what they would do is they would not go to mikvah because it was too difficult. There were not too many mikvahs, it was too cold, this and that. So they would write the columns and columns and columns, and every time it came to Hashem's name, they left it out. They left out Hashem's name. And then they would go to mikvah, and then they would write 50 shemas in one shot. Go to mikvah, and you say l'shem, you have to say l'shem kiddushas Hashem. You do not say that this shall be written in l'shem kiddushas Hashem. The Sefer Torah is possible. Two things. You have to go to mikvah and say l'shem kiddushas Hashem, and they would write 50 shemas. 50 shemos, 100 shemos, that's how they would do it years ago. Today, the Sefer, I know as a fact, they do not do this, they go to mikvah. They go to mikvah in the morning before. That's just how it is, just because convenient, it's easy. Anyway, you're going to write Hashem's name. And anyway, there are so many mikvahs in Eretz Yisrael and in America also. So it's not a big deal, and there's an expectation. Ad kedei kach, there was someone told me a story where a Sefer woke up in the morning in Eretz Yisrael, and he forgot to go to mikvah. He forgot. And he went to work, and he began writing, he wrote a couple of lines, and then he realized he did not go to mikvah. And luckily, whatever he wrote, there was no shame Hashem. He went to El Yashiv, and he said to El Yashiv, I wrote the whole Sefer Torah, I went to mikvah, but you know, there were like these five lines, I just forgot. I woke up in the morning, I went to work, I was distracted, I didn't go to mikvah, and I wrote, and then I realized I went to mikvah. Am I mechuyev to tell the buyer that those five lines was written without me going to mikvah? Because it's not what?
Can you just, like,
no, you can't. It's going to ruin it. It doesn't work like that.
Why doesn't you know how much work
that is to go write a whole new cloth. The cloth alone costs a fortune. The parchment alone is part of his parnasa. They make very little. They make very little. It's a lot of tircha. It's not worth it. And it's kosher. In short, it's 100% kosher. Without going to mikvah. And in fact, that's how it always was done. All the old Sefer Torah, no one went to mikvah. They went, they wrote Hashem's name, they didn't go to mikvah. So Yashu said to him, I think it was Yashu, he said to him, you should tell the buyer, because it's not ethical. Because since today, that's the way people do it. They're not mechuyev to do it, but that's the standard. That's the standard today. So when a person buys a new Sefer Torah, it's with the understanding that the Sefer went to mikvah. So you should let him know you didn't go to mikvah for a couple of lines. If he's makbid, you'll have to reduce the price. Go down about 100, 200, whatever it is. If not. So I was amazed at that psak halacha. He told him. Okay, so therefore, I find it very bizarre And I was talking to this to him with Rabbi Pinchas, is that, you know, the whole Sefer Torah is written by people who have gone, by a Sefer who went to the mikvah. And now when it comes to the Achnosa Sefer Torah, you allow the common man off the street to come and put a dot in the Sefer Torah, and they didn't go to mikvah. How can you allow that? How can you ruin it at the very last moment? It's the whole Sefer Torah has been written 305,000 letters, and now at the very end you're going to ruin it? So he told me a few things. First, he said to me, the truth is, even if they don't add a dot, it's still kosher. Because the letters are outlined, and the letters that are outlined are pretty thick. And we have a principle, Ein Shi'ur Lo'oivei Ha'isiyos. It's already kosher the way it is. This whole thing is just a ceremony. Put a dot. It's a ceremony. It's not, they're not, any, by putting a dot in the Sefer Torah, you're not really doing anything significant. Yeah?
Just recently, I just held the top of the feather and I said,
right.
I'm kind of
possible. Right, you said, L'shem Kiddush. That's what they would love you to do. That's what I did also. They don't, the Sefer doesn't that? Want, no, they don't want you to put a dot.
Right.
They're not interested because you'll mess it up, you'll ruin it, you'll make it sloppy, you'll ink. So the best thing is let him do it. You appoint him. You are my agent. You are my agent. This is my letter. You don't even do that. It's just holding the feather is just a ceremony. It doesn't mean anything to hold the feather. It's good for the picture. It's good for the picture. Nothing more than the picture. Okay, so it's just a ceremony. But they don't like it. The Sefer would prefer that no one write, no one touch it, because you don't know what you're doing. And you're gonna slip and you're gonna ruin it.
Yeah, but that's why they get. But they would also lose out on their tips.
Well, they get tips. That's right. Yes. Okay. You get a tip. Oh, that's right. I didn't tip him. I forgot to tip him. That's right. Okay. I thought the last time I did, I tipped the guy right this time. I forgot to tip him. That's right. I didn't see the other people tipping, though. Okay. There were some very wealthy people there, but I didn't see anyone giving him tips. Not that I saw.
No, that was
the wealthy ones who don't see it.
All right, they get a bill in the mail. Right? The wealthy ones get a bill in the mail.
They had a problem in our school.
All right, so he said, you're not really doing anything anyway. So if you don't go to mikvah, it doesn't matter. Because what did you do? You put a microscopic dot? It doesn't really make a difference. And Enochanami, well, first, you can't go tell Balabatim, you know, it's a covet for them to have a chelik in the Sefer Torah. It's a davar choshuv ad me'ot to have a chelik in the Sefer Torah. So the whole Sefer Torah was written by going to mikvah. Okay, so the last two lines was not. It's not a kasha. So it wasn't. So it doesn't take away from the fact that the Sefer, he wrote it, the Kedusha V'tara. So the last two lines, this is even a greater Kedusha. By not going to mikvah and allowing the average person to have a chelik in the Sefer Torah, it enhances the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. That enhancement of allowing the average person to enjoy having a chelik in the Sefer Torah is even a greater Kedusha than the minhag of going to the mikvah, which you're not mechuyev to do before you put a dot in the Sefer Torah. So it's okay, yeah.
I think there's a minhag, I don't know, minhag of a din by a nest. They don't let anyone carry the dress.
Oh, this is an extreme, who am I to say? It's very strange, I know. Anyone who didn't go to the mikvah should not touch the mace.
Right.
The mace, by the way, is Navia Vaisatumah.
Yeah,
So anyone who touches the mace is becoming tummy, is becoming very tummy, is connecting. So what? The coffin has the same status as the mace. Since the coffin is for the mace, the coffin has the status of an avi avoy satoma. Why do they put the mace in the mikvah? What's the reason? To be metahir the mace from tumas keri. Because this mace, this person, before he died, at some point in his life, he may have had an emission of shikva zera, which brings upon his body contamination. That contamination is a completely different contamination than the contamination of the dead, of the contaminating to the dead. And by putting the body in the mikvah, you indeed remove from the dead body this form of contamination. So there are two different types of contamination, which one has nothing to do with the other. There is tumas hames. Today, every person is tumi mes. If you were born in a hospital, it's likely if the hospital has a corpse in the morgue, then every person, the moment he's born, from the moment he's born, he's an avatuma. If he's born in a hospital, and in the hospital there is a possibility in the morgue there's a dead body, and it's all one big building, so automatically the person is an avatuma. If a person was not born, if there was no corpse in the morgue, or the person was not born in the hospital, he is born at home by Hatzalah. So then, in a chanami, even though his mother is probably, so his mother touched him, so the mother is an avatuma, so he's a rishon. So the person is a rishon. So when does the person become an avatuma? In that case, the first time he goes to a funeral, or the first time he comes in contact in a room where there's a dead body. So a person, if you know, a young person, theoretically, doesn't go and come in contact with the dead. It can go a long time, possibly. You don't take children to funerals. Okay, you don't take children to funerals generally. What? Okay, a little older, with 9, 10 years old. So it's interesting that theoretically, if a person is when he's born, he's not necessarily an avatuma. He's a rishon. His mother's for sure. People touch him, and they're for sure an avatuma. So an avatuma who touches a person, they become a rishon. So a person certainly is a rishon midin tumas meis, but not necessarily an avatuma. The first time you come in contact with a dead body, or you're an oil hameis, then you become an avatuma, and that never goes away your whole life. It never goes away your whole life, because we do not have today the water of the paraduma to remove from us the tumas av hatuma. Okay, so a person is always out, but just because a person is avatuma, there's another typical tumas carry. When a person has an emission of shechva zera, that's a completely different type of tumma. And in the svarim, it's something which is very severe. Okay, we don't really take it too seriously, this type of tumma, but it's something which is supposed to be very, very severe. And going to the mikvah removes that contamination. Now, when a person dies, the reason why they're toivel their body in a mikvah is to remove that contamination, and on a deeper level, the Mefarshim says that when the person is afraid, there's a reality that when the person is in a state of terror, it causes him to release shechva zera, without him realizing it, even a microscopic amount of shechva zera. And therefore, the Mefarshim said that when a person sees the Malach HaMavis, when a human being, at the time of when he dies, when his neshama senses the Malach HaMavis, that causes an involuntary emission, even of a very, very small amount of shechva zera, which brings upon the body this tumah called this type of tumah. And that's why it's a good idea, where possible, to be toivel the body in the mikvah to remove this tumma before the body is buried. Now that's not ma'akev. There's no requirement to do so. It's just a minog, and it does not even need to be done with a mikvah. You can accomplish the same thing by pouring upon the body or upon a person, take a shower. Take a shower of 9 kavim of regular water. Also, to some degree, does the same thing. And in fact, until very recently, the mikvahs in America did not have the chapels in America did not have mikvahs. Only very select chapels had mikvahs. Most of the chapels, they just poured on the body 9 kavim of water. Today, we became a very firm world. So today, every chapel wouldn't be in business unless they had a real mikvah to be toivel the body. But you said it, and that's a new reality that exists today, and it's a good, no harm done. There's but no...
It could be spreading disease. Because usually...
Okay, so you're saying something very, very good. You're saying they wear gloves, and the chav, you know, you have to speak, and that's the difference between a place that's responsible and a place that's not responsible. You know, people come in to do the tahara. The chapel has an obligation to make sure the people who do the tahara don't get sick. And it's no joke. The people who do the tahara are doing a tahara on a person more often than not that was very sick. People don't just die like that. They don't die healthy. Rahman, people die. They're in the hospital for very long. They have all different types of diseases. And it's a very serious thing. And the tahara demands, they know that it's an invasive procedure, a tahara. Tahara, they clean the person's bowels. They enter into the person's body. And it's an invasive procedure, and there's a very great danger. It's no joke. It's a very great danger. Some people, they die, you know, they die in isolation. When they die, you're not even allowed to walk into them unless you're wearing a gown and a mask and gloves. So it's even worse when the body is released. It's a very serious thing. So a chapel that does not protect the people who come and are volunteers or who are hired to do the tahara is doing a very great sin. It's a very terrible thing. It's exactly like what you said. It's very, very serious. And the people who know, not everyone advertises, they're part of the Chevra Kadisha, but those people who are part of the Chevra Kadisha, they have to be trained. And part of the training is protect yourself. Protect yourself from don't bring home disease to your wife and children. Okay, you want to put yourself in sakana. What right do you have to put your wife and children in sakana? What right do you have to go put your chaverim and shul in sakana? It's indeed a very serious thing. And I have no doubt that in certain situations, they don't do a tahara. It's just too dangerous. It's just too dangerous.
AIDS,
what?
AIDS.
Even not AIDS, other diseases. There are certain diseases, and you have to also know what they have. You know, you need a medical report from the hospital, exactly what is the situation. And so people have to know, and they don't always do a tahara. So they don't do a tahara. It's okay. It doesn't matter. So there's no tahara. Every situation is different, and this is what they do. The experts who deal with these things, I once heard a rabbi say, you're not going to be a rabbi until you see, at least you observe a chevra kadisha. It's something which every rabbi deals with on a daily basis. He deals with death. I mean, that's a good chunk of rabbonis, is to deal with people, deal with avelus, people balabatim. Your balabatim are always going to have situations where they're in avelus, and you have to know what to do. And if you do not know what goes on inside the chevra kadisha, and what goes on in the chapel, and understand what the issues are, then you're not doing your community a service by taking a shtela as a rabbi. Not that you have to know, do the tahara yourself, but you have to know what's going on in there. Because these are very serious issues, and these shilas come up every single day. And you gotta at least know what the issues are, what the situation is, and you'd be surprised. Not every person gets a tahara. It's not always possible. It's not always possible for it to be done. Okay, so here, going back, Elokim, this all came, so how do we all get into this kind of Elokim? Elokim is B'loshan Rabim, it is respect. When you speak to an authority, you speak B'loshan Rabim. And that's why Hashem is called Elokim, B'loshan Rabim. Here, we have something very unique, according to the Mitzudos. Not only do we call Hashem Elokim, we call Hashem Kidoy Shin. Okay, it's amazing because this is a word which we normally do not use in the plural. Here we are using it in the plural. Let's see Rashi. Rashi elaborates a bit more. Before we actually see Rashi, let's just see the Mitzvah Siyah. Because the Mitzvah Siyah takes the word Rod. The word Rod means Kamay Roideh. It means to rule. Okay, so there's a missing letter. What is the missing letter? The Hey. The Hey, the Inyan, Mem Shalah, the Yesh, the Farsha, Shashar, Shay, Radad. Some want to say it's a different word. It means to connect. Radad means in chibur. Two dalits. We're missing a dalit. It means to connect. Kimo vayor red al hakuvim. It means they connected. It was connected. The goal. This refers to the giant-sized kiruvim that were made by Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, in addition to having the kiruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu on top of the Aron HaKodesh, in the Bayis Rishon, there were these gigantic kruvim that stood in the corner of the room and spread their wings over the entire room. These gigantic, massive-sized kruvim. And they were not made from gold because that would be impossible. There's too much gold. They were made from wood. And on top of the wood, it was plated. They poured molten gold to cover these wooden figures. Figurines, it's called figurine. They So there it says that vayar means they attached. It was attached to the wood kruvim gold. So we have here two translations so far. It means to rule, rod in kel. It means either to rule with God. So what does it mean to rule with God? What does that mean, memshola? So the Mitsudo said, as we already mentioned, it means to rule over yourself. What do we see how we translate it again, the Mitsudos? What do you say over here, the Mitsudos? Oh no, I read you the wrong thing. I read you from the Malbim. I jumped to the Malbim. Okay, we'll come back to that one in a moment. Okay, I'm putting on page 172 in the Mitsudos David, it says the word rod, which means memshal. That's all he says. It's all he says. Ridei bekerav aivecha, rule amongst your enemies. And the Mitsudos said, what does it mean to rule? It means, where is the translation of here in the Mitsudos? David, v'Yehuda adayin hu moishel im hakel. And he apologizes. What does it mean? Literally, it doesn't really make sense. Ritzon Olaymar, machriach esa'om leleches im hakel. It refers to the leaders. It's very interesting. When you read the words of the commentators very carefully, everyone is living in their own world. Everyone has their own interpretation of the pasuk. And he says it refers to the leaders. The leaders are forcing, they're ruling with an iron fist, making sure that the Jewish people serve Hashem. There are inspectors. They come into your house to make sure your kitchen is kosher, to make sure your internet is filtered, to make sure your mezuzos are in the right place, okay, not too high, not too low, to make sure, it's not a joke, there are two beds. Okay, that used to be a big thing. That used to be a big thing in certain people, they would inspect people's houses to make sure, not people, they, like different, like parents to know families, do they have one bed or there are two beds? I mean, that right away gives an indication if there's their nizer in Taharas HaMishpacha. It's not a raya. Just because it's one bed doesn't mean that the woman doesn't go to mikvah, but there's a certain indication that things may not be 100%. Okay, it doesn't mean necessarily mean anything. Okay, I remember Mayevsky told me that these mamish come inspect with Ula Shidduch. They would come inspect, I don't know how they would call it, crazy, do such a thing, if the dining room table had a tablecloth. He told me the story of Mayevsky. A tablecloth. Because it's that was not a Yiddish derech to have a beer table. Now today it's ridiculous. Because today no one has a tablecloth during the weekday. You have a table on Shabbos. On Shabbos you have a tablecloth. But there was such a, by certain groups of people, Europeans, it's not a Yiddish thing to have a beer table in your home during the week. And if your table is beer, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with your it's an indication that your values are different than what we are accustomed to back in the Alta Haim. I don't know what that means. To me, it doesn't make. I don't have a tablecloth in my house during the week. I don't think everyone that I know doesn't have either. What? Maybe I should put on. That's all my problems are because of that. Every issue in life, it's rooted in that, in the fact that there's no tablecloth during the week. Okay, maybe. I think I can tell this to the average person today. They'll look at you like you're from another world. You're from Mars. But yes, he told me, you know, this is serious business. That's how it was years ago. They would actually come shidduchim when a person was proposed a shidduch, and it was a real serious question. You would inquire amongst the neighbors: does this person have on their dining room table during the weekday a tablecloth? And if the answer was no, you would think twice.
The
Well, for Shidduchim, there are hotlines. Chofetz Chaim Foundation, Shidduch hotlines for Shidduchim. Okay, that's an old thing.
A gemach for
tablecloths to make sure. But here, over here, if you read very precisely the words of the Mitzudos David, seems to say is that the leaders of Yehuda were they enforced. They made sure people were observant. They did not allow people to slack off. Today you can't tell. It's hard for us to imagine such a thing because we live in a free world. Don't you dare walk into my house. Don't go tell me what to do. But could you imagine in society, we know as a fact that this was the case. No, you're living in a Torah society, in a community. Maybe it's if you don't like it, so go somewhere else. But if you're living in this community, we want there to be certain standards to the degree that we're going to enforce the standards, that we're going to even send inspectors into your home to make sure. It's very foreign to us, such a thing. Living, yeah, so it sounds like to us, right? It sounds like to us like you're living in a fundamentalist, extremist country, religion. But you know, in the Kinois, we all say this every year in the Kinois, one of the most popular Kinois on Tisha B'Av is the time of Yoshiyahu. He found when he discovered the Sefer Torah, and he started the greatest Baal Teshuva movement in the history of Klal Yisrael. And what did he do? He sent inspectors into everyone's home to make sure there were no idols. Okay, and on the outside of everyone's door, there was a certificate from the chief rabbi, this home has been inspected to be free from idols. And they went inside to inspect. Could you imagine? And then it says there in the Kinois, what did the people do? They could not give up their idols. So they fooled the inspectors. They took an idol and they sliced it down the center and they put one half on one door, the other half on the other door. When the inspectors came, they opened up the doors. They never shut them because they were inspecting the house. So they never saw that when you put the two halves, the doors together, then the idol came together. So they outsmarted the inspectors. So to me, okay, I'm not surprised by that, but to me what's so shocking is, you mean they had inspectors? Who today would allow a rabbi to come into your home to inspect your home to make sure it's kosher? To inspect your kitchen, to inspect your internet to make sure it's filtered, to inspect your bedroom, to inspect, I mean, there's no end to what they can inspect to make sure that it's kosher of Yasha. You, it's unheard of. We would lynch this person who would even have a Havamina. You're going to come into my house. Let me come into your house first. Let me inspect your house. Let's do it by you. Okay, we don't live in this world. Okay, we live in a very different world. It's very hard for us to imagine such a thing. Like you said, you say this, you right away associate this with Meshugayim in Saudi Arabia, you know, who live your life for you. But it's because we don't really appreciate, and there was something lacking in us.
People did run away.
What?
A lot of people ran away.
Could be. All right, but over here, the Mitzudos David seems to say just that. And the way he indicates that it says just that, because that's his translation of the word Rod. Rod means we're in control. Who's we? The leaders, they rule. What do they rule? We are going to make inspections. We're going to force you to be observant. And by forcing you means we're going to force you. We're going to make sure you're observant. You'll come around to appreciate that this is what Hashem really wants from you. It's foreign to us, such a thing. Rashi is more, I think, more practical to us. Look at Rashi. We learned the word Rod. That's how we started with today. Rod, let's see Rashi. Al Pasuk Aleph, Sivavuni Kivar. Bekachash, is a word here. Kivar means in the past. The Jewish people, the Malchus of Yisrael, they're liars. Okay, then one of the most important characteristics of Klal Yisrael is emes. There's nothing more important than the truth. The truth is the chosim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the first letter in the Aleph Beis, the middle letter of the Aleph Beis, and the last letter, Aleph Mem Saf. The 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, the 27 letters of the Aleph Beis, are the letters Hashem built, created the world. It's all in the letters of the Alphabet. In the beginning, the middle, and the end is MS, is the word truth. Hashem, we say it in Kriyashma. Hashem Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeitzi Yosem Me'eretz Yisrael Li'os Lachem Elokim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem MS. This is what's critical. MS, and all those letters have a foundation. They have two legs. Each letter has two legs. Total of six legs. There are six legs in the three letters MS. And when the Jewish people find themselves in a state of lies, liars, we're in trouble. It's a big problem. Sivavuni kvar bichachash, lies. Uvamirma deceit. Ephraim, ubeis Yisrael. So here Rashi says, Malchi aseres ha-shvatim b'cholo'am. So these two terms as are very obvious reference to them, as the Mitzvah is explained to the Malchus of Yehuda, and Malchus, the Malchus of Ephraim, of Yisrael, Ephraim and Beis Yisrael. Avol Yehuda, they're still good. They still got time on their hands. Oidenu rod imkel. Very hard term. What does this mean according to Rashi? So here's really where we start in the beginning. I really enjoy this parish in Rashi. This over here, open, like we said before, it opens up a whole new world as to the definition of Yirah Shamayim. We just had Birchas Rosh Chodesh, and we were mispal that this month should be a month of Yirah Shamayim, Yirah Chet, and Yirah Shamayim. Three references to fear of Hashem three times. Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Chet, or Yiras Chet, Yiras Shemayim, and Nochamol Yiras Shemayim. And what is Yiras Shemayim? So here's what Rashi says: Moishel Od, they still rule the Yiras Elokim. It doesn't say this anywhere in the pasuk. Yiras Elokim. Where does it say the word Yira? Where did Rashi get this? He adds the word Yira. The Mitzudos didn't say this. The Mitzudos says the word rod means to rule. The leaders make inspections. You don't shape up, we'll ship out. We'll send you to who knows where. And here and here and here, Rashi doesn't say that. We're not talking about the leaders. We're talking about Moishel O, they rule with Yiras Elokim. How do you know that? Rod, he just says, rod means come over, Vayered Miyakov. Vayered means, there it means the rulership will come from Yaakov. Od Malchayhem im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he explains this means their kings are still with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi is teaching us an incredible principle of what is the definition of Yirah Shamayim. Discipline. It means to rule. To rule yourself. You rule over yourself. Discipline. And the discipline is all with the goal of Hashem's playbook. That's it. That's Yiras Shamayim. It doesn't mean you're afraid that lightning is going to strike. It's not necessarily even meaning emotion. We associate fear with emotion. Who says? Who says you can bring yourself to an emotion of fear? Is that really even possible? It's too abstract. Hashem is abstract. It's hard. It's hard really to have an emotion. Fear means, the way Rashi says, Rodim Kel, Yiras Elokim, and the word we're choosing is to rule. You rule over yourself. Self-discipline in the fulfillment of Hashem's commandments. That is a Yiras Shamayim. That's a true Yiras Shamayim. Having emotion, that's a gift. Hashem can bring about the conditions where a person feels fear, he feels love. Emotion is not something you can bring upon yourself. Emotion is a reaction to circumstances in life that more often than not are not under your control. But your actions and your behavior, that's under your control. To discipline yourself is under your control. That's true. Yiras Elokim. That's true. Yiras Shamayim. And that's a very powerful lesson. And unfortunately, I think most people don't really understand that. Don't really get that, of what real Yiras Shamayim is. To wake up early, go to daven again. You're disciplined to go to daven every day, to go do the mitzvahs, to daven mincha with the minyan, to wake up early for shachos, and to learn, to kaveh itim l'torah, and to bench like a mensch, and all these things. You know, that's hard discipline. That's a lot of hard work every day to do it the right way, and to do it the right way, and it has nothing to do with fear. I'm not afraid. No one's putting a gun to my head. It's not a matter of fear. It's just, I'm a disciplined person to do Hashem's ratzon. Okay, now if you take a look over here at the Malbum, okay, without even going into the Perush, I don't have time because I want to go further tomorrow. But look at the Rambam; he has new choice the word rod. The Malbum says the word rod means to attach, to cleave. The Atem Hadveikim BaHashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Hayom. A whole new interpretation. Rod means to cleave to the Ribbono Shel Olam. On page 173. In the Malbum, the Beir Hamilois, okay, that's the equivalent to the Mitzudos Sion. In the Malbum, he says Rod first is Kamayrodi, like it says in the Rashi in the Memshala, and then he says it also means Redad, Chibur, means to connect yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, let's see two things before let's see the Maamar Chazal. Okay, the Maamar Chazal is not really relevant too much, but once it's here, we'll just run through very quick because it's on the page. On the bottom of the page, the Pasuk Aleph, Chaya Rabbi Meir Oimer, Kishamdu Yisrael Al Yam, Chayu Shavatim Menatzchim Zem Zeh. It's just, it's an interesting Maamar Chazal, even though I don't really think there's not really much relation to what it says here in this Pasuk. When the Jewish people were on the Yam Suf, they began to fight. Who was going to have the zuchus of jumping into the Yam first? Okay, isn't that interesting? So just jump in. who's gonna go al Kiddush Hashem first? Who's gonna jump into the fire first? Okay, who's gonna jump in? It's interesting. In Yadus, there are two types of jumping in. There's jumping into fire and jumping into water. Okay, Avram Avinu, he allowed himself to be thrown to the Kivshan Ha'esh. And then there's jumping into water. Like Kriyas Yamsuf. Who's going to jump into the water? Who says the water is going to split? Hashem says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisohu, they should jump in. They should jump into the water. What was Hashem telling them? We always are of the opinion that Hashem was telling Klal Yisrael, don't worry, just, I think Rashi actually quotes a Chazal. Jump in and the water will split. Is that the only pshat? That Hashem told the Jewish people to jump into the water, the water is going to split. Maybe Hashem was telling Klal Yisrael they should go al Kiddush Hashem. What does it mean? You have to look in the Mefarshim. Just like Avram Avinu, think about Avram Avinu. Ribbono Shel Olam, if not for me, there's no world. You created the world that there should be a Hakara, that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Amit, if I go into the fire, if I go and Nimrod throws me into the fire, it's over. Hashem, you want it to be over? Hashem says, yeah, I do. That's right. I want it to be over. I created the world for this moment. That there's a person who believes in me and jumps into the fire. The world will have achieved its purpose. And that's right. After that, whatever will happen. The world will come to an end. Won't come to an end. It's irrelevant. This is what I want. Avraham Avinu has a guarantee that by going into the fire, he's going to come out alive? Of course not. You go into the fire, you die. You're dead. You finished. So Avraham Avinu, he fulfilled Hashem's ratzon. He jumped into the fire. It's all over.
Amram went to Sheikh Yitzchok. The Maal told him to stop. He said, I want to go.
What's going to do with the world? No, that's not my problem. The purpose of the world was to reach this moment in time, and this is the goal. We think the world is coming on Mashiach. And then what? That's the purpose of the world, is to reach a certain point in time. So this is it. So guess what? By Kriyas Yamsuf, it's the same thing. There comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem took out the miracles. There was miracles. The miracles were the 10 Makos, and they left Mitzrayim. And now is a time when Hashem is asking us to go al Kiddush Hashem. Just like Hashem said to Avram, jump into the fire, jump into the water in my honor. Show the Egyptians that if Hashem says, jump in, we're not going to die in your hands. We're going to die in the hands of Hashem. Hashem said, Hashem is telling us to jump into the water, al Kiddush Hashem. But what was the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim? The whole purpose of everything happened until that. This is the purpose. This is the purpose to show the world that you have belief in Hashem. When Hashem tells you to jump into the water, you jump into the water. A miracle happened. That Avraham Avinu didn't die.
Then it was he. He walked into the fire, was he thrown?
Thrown into the fire. He had a choice. Either bow down to Nimrod, or going or throw you into the fire. So it's as if he walked into the fire. It's the same thing. Either you bow down to Nimrod and show, reject the Ribbono Shel Olam, acknowledge that Nimrod is the God, what you've done. When it came to Avram, it came to Klal Yisrael, the same thing. This is the purpose of the world. Jump into the water to go Al Kiddush Hashem. Guess what? Something very strange happened. The water split. That's not supposed to happen. When Avram Avinu jumped into the fire, he's not supposed to come out alive. It wasn't supposed to happen. For whatever reason, Hashem decided, you know what? I want you to live. I want there to be more. Klal Yisrael, you jump into the water. I want you to live. I'll make Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is a world in and of itself because it's that was not necessarily meant to be. I tell you one approach. Not everyone agrees with what I'm telling you. The other Mahalchim that say, no, Hashem told them the Yam will split. It's not Mukhrach. There are different Mahalchim. There are different approaches in understanding what is the essence of Kriyas Yamsuf. But if you do learn the more simple approach, the essence of Kriyas Yamsuf is that the Yam's not going to split. You're going to go to Al Kiddush Hashem. Isn't it interesting that there are two different ways to go Al Kiddush Hashem? By jumping into fire and jumping into water. Fire and water are opposites. There's no peace between them. Fire and water. Each one has a different, it's not for now, is a different form of Kiddush Hashem. There's a form of Kiddush Hashem of fire, and there's a form of Kiddush Hashem dying with water. So here we have over here a story where Hashem is, I think that's where the difference between this, the other approach, Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, the Yam's going to split. The Yam will split. I think this two Mahalchim is where this Medrash says, we'll stop with this Medrash. What does this Medrash over here say? Is that they came to Kriyas Yamsuf, I'll take you out, so then we're inside very quickly. We came to Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a fight. What was the fight? The fight was, who's going to be Zoycha to be the first one that's going to jump in? Everyone wants to jump in. Everyone is chalashing to jump in. It's not fair. Kovoid, we have to give it out. Who gets the first aliyah? Who gets the first one to jump in? So in the meantime, when they were fighting, Binyamin, he jumped in. He jumped in first. The second version says, no one wanted to go. Everyone was afraid to go. So who was the one that said, don't be afraid, I'll do it? No. Yehuda. Yehuda jumped in. So, man of Shach, was it Yehuda who jumped in? Or was it Binyamin that jumped in? Was everyone fighting to go? Or was everyone fighting not to go? So what's going on? The answer is, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There were two elements in Kriyas Yamsuf. There was the element of Kriyas Yamsuf of, you're going to die, you're all going to die. This is the end. This is the end of the world. The purpose was you should be Mekadesh Yeshem, Mekadesh Shem Shemayim by giving up your life. And the way you're going to give up your life is to jump into the water. And then there was also an element, a dimension of Hashem, I promise you, you're not going to die. The Yam is going to split. So in regard to the people who believe the Yam is going to, they saw miracles. They saw miracles. The Yam is going to split. And they know miracles are possible because they saw the 10 Makos, they saw Makos Bukhairos, they know they're miracles. So when Hashem says it's going to be a miracle, I want to be the first one to do the miracle. And the end was, who was the first one? So who was the first one who got to do the miracle, who got to do the miracle? The Yam, Binyamin. But if you learn that the pshat was, it's over, life is over, the whole purpose of creation is coming to this moment in time when you're going to all die, Al Kiddush Hashem, like Avraham Avinu, not everyone is in such a rush to bring an end to their life. If Hashem is telling you, it's over. It's over. This is it. This is, you've reached now a level of faith in me after everything is said and done, where you're going to behave like Avraham Avinu and you're going to give up your life for me and the world will have achieved its purpose and it's over. Not everyone is in such a rush to do that. It's not so easy to go against your nature when Hashem is not promising you you're going to live. No one wants to go. So who's the one that says, you know what? I'm going to be the first one to go Al Kiddush Hashem. Yehuda!
I can say that in
Hallel. It's Mekadesh Shem Shem. I'm going to suicide. I'm going to do it. But if you learn,
only because of the Tzibui of Hashem.
Oh, right, of course. Of course. But if you learn the other dimension, that Hashem, I promise, you're not going to die. This is just going to be another miracle. I made a t'nai with the yam for my stabilization. It has to split. It's going to be another miracle. I believe in miracles because we've seen miracles all along. There's so many miracles. I want to be the first. Everyone's running for a miracle. Who doesn't want to win the lottery? Who doesn't want the lottery ticket to win the miracle? The Mela, who was the first one that was zoich in the miracle? Binyamin. So, and the truth is they're both correct. Okay, the depth of Chazal is Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There are two different dimensions to what Kriyas Yamsev is all about. Why am I telling you all this? Because he brings down this pasuk. We read it over here very quickly. Read the pasuk. It's part of the conversation. Part of the conversation is drawn from the pasuk that we learned today. It says here in the words of the Gemara, Ha Yushevatim Menatzchim. They were quarreling. Zemze. Zoymer ani yorei techila liyam. Vezoymer ani yorei techila liyam. What happened? Kofat shifter shol binyamin v'yor liyam techila. They got the miracle first. Because why? They wanted the miracle. Hashem promised in this version, this approach I'm explaining the Chazal, Hashem says, nothing's going to happen to you. It's going to be a miracle. They believed in miracles because they saw miracles. Amar la Rabbi Yehuda loy kocha yemaisa. Hashem didn't promise miracles. Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, this is the moment that the world was waiting for you to give up your lives in my honor. And what's going to be afterwards? None of your business. What? Ela zeimer ein ani yorei techila liyam. V'zeimer ein ani yorei techila liyam. When you're giving up your life and it's all over for real, no one's in a rush. Let someone else go first. Kofatz Nachshon ben Aminadov, he's tribe of Yehuda, the Yerli Yam Tchila, and that's the pasuk over here that we draw from to prove that, to illustrate this point. Shenemar, Sivavuni bechachash Ephraim uve Mirmoy beis Yisrael, Yehuda oid rod imkel. Rod means he went down, he descended. He descended into the Yam with his faith of God. In other words, everyone used to say, oh, everyone makes the bracha in the morning, Mekadesh, Hashimcha, Yisrael, Barabim. Hashem says to Jewish people, you're all a bunch of phonies. Every day you put your hands on your eyes and you say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, V'yahavta, Eis Hashem Elokecha, V'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha. I'm willing to give up my neshama for you, Hashem. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing. Hashem, oh, you're willing to give up your neshama for me? Okay. I'm giving you now an opportunity to do so. Jump into the Yam and die al Kiddush Hashem. Do it. Jump into the Yam. And guess what? No one wants to do it. What do you mean you don't want to do it? Have you not said your entire life, V'yahavta eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha? You're a bunch of liars, people. That's what the pasuk says. Sivavuni b'chachash Ephraim. Klal Yisrael is called by the name of Ephraim. You're a bunch of liars. You surround me, you come, you get together to declare Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim with a mindset of insincerity, of lies. Uvemirma beis Yisrael. The only one that's really sincere, who would listen, was willing to actually die al Kiddush Hashem, and not go back to Egypt and serve their gods, but instead to die al Kiddush Hashem, V'Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav Lamata Yehuda, Oid. He was the only one that was Rodimkel. He was the only one that was willing to go down, to descend into the Yam, L'shem Shemaim, and give up his life. V'im Kidoishim Neman. He was faithful with the holy ones. The Kedoshim, I think, according to the Medrash, means the other individuals in our history who gave up their life al Kiddush Hashem. He was the only one that was willing to do this, to be from the Kedoshim. Because I always find it to be an abuse. I find it to be a terrible abuse when they say about certain Gedolim, they're Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Levracha. You're not supposed to do that. I don't know why. I went to an article. I can't. It's not for me to say. Chash, I'm not coming to challenge anyone. The only person that they use the word kadosh for is a person who died al kiddush Hashem. A person is a very big tzaddik, very, very big tzaddik, the greatest tzaddik in the world, but died a peaceful death, or even died a tortured death in with Yisurim, he's not a Kaddish. I mean, he's a Kaddish. He's a Kaddish in the sense that he's a holy person, but the way the term is used is usually and exclusively in reference to people who gave up their lives, al kiddush Hashem. Someone who died in the Holocaust is a Kaddish. He died because he was a Jew. He's a Kaddish. So to say about a person, he's a very big Talmud Chacham, and he's a very big Talmud Chacham, to say, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kaddish L'Vrach, you want to distinguish him from the other, he's greater than everyone else, so you can call him a Kaddish, that's not correct. That is not correct. At least what I understand, it's not correct. And it disturbs me when I hear sometimes when they say about certain people, they're a Kaddish. That's not the correct thing. It's an insult to all the people who really died al Kiddush Hashem. So here it says v'im kiddushim ne'eman. It fits perfectly into the theme of what we're trying to bring out in this dimension of what was Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf in the second version of the Gemara was no guarantees. You're all gonna die now. You're all gonna die al kiddush because what's the alternative? You're stuck now by a wall by the Yam. If you're gonna let the Egyptians come, they're gonna take you back to Egypt. And you're going to worship their gods. Or you're going to be killed. Whatever it was going to be, but they'll take your children. You're going to end up worshiping their gods. Like the Crusades. They killed the adults. They took the children. Now is the anniversary of the Crusades. They killed the adults and they took the children and they brainwashed them into becoming Christians. So what's the alternative? The alternative is to die al kiddush Hashem. So jump into the water and die al kiddush Hashem. You're looking, but what are you out of your mind? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the shifting car, and all the promises. It's all over. It's all over. The whole Klal Yisrael will come to an end. It's right. No different than Avraham Avinu. No different than the Akedah. That's right. It's all over. It's not your business what's going to be afterwards. This is what is demanded of you right now. And guess what? No one was interested. No one, there were no takers. No takers. And Hashem bitterly complains. The only one that was willing to fulfill this directive was the Yehuda Od. He was still with the program. Rod, he was willing to descend into the Yam to be together, listed with V'yim kiddushim, the people who died in Jewish history, al kiddush Hashem, the kiddushim ne'aman, he will be faithful among those people who are kiddushim. In this interpretation of the Chazal, kiddushim is not plural reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's kiddushim means with the people who are umayser nefesh to die al kiddush Hashem. I think it's very appropriate this pasuk because today is the anniversary of the First Crusade. Okay, there were three major cities during the First Crusade: Worms, Mainz, and Magentia, Speyer, Magentia, and Worms. There were three major cities. There were many cities. Don't get me wrong. There were probably like 20, 30 cities, kilos that were killed, wiped out, tortured. But these are the three major cities, and in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av, goes through the details of what happened. I don't remember the details, but one of the major significant events did take place on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan is, and that is why on this Pesach Shabbos we recite the Av Harachamim. The Av Harachamim was composed specifically as a zecher for the kedoshim of the First Crusade, and that's why you say it even Shabbos Mevarchim. And it used to be that was the only Shabbos that it was recited. Today, for whatever reason, we recite it every Shabbos. But it used to be that it was only recited Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Sivan, because in Chodesh Sivan, Rosh Chodesh Sivan is when the massacres began, and it's a bashkocha pratis that we're learning this pasuk about the inyan of giving up your life al kiddush Hashem, Vim Kidoshim Neman, and those individuals who did Doral Kiddush Hashem, they're certainly who are we are referring to over here, and may their neshamas have an aliyah, and may their zuchus protect us, Yagin Aleinu, and we should only see good things, Besuras Tovos, and Klal Yisrael.